and welcome. I'm Paul Gunton, and I'm hosting this podcast for Lloyd's List. My guest today is Alfonso Castillero, CEO of the Liberian International Ship and Corporate Registry. It is usually known by its initials, LISCR, or just LISCR for short. He's also a former Director General of the Panama Ship Registry. He's the only person who has run the two largest registries, so he probably knows more about ship registration than anyone else on the planet. But he's equally knowledgeable about how ships are assessed by port state control regimes. Alfonso's an engineer by education. He started as a seafarer, and he's held multiple positions within the industry, including being a port state control officer himself, performing over 1,500 inspections. Today, though, when he looks at port state control, he doesn't like what he sees. So he wants change, and he wants it now. So, Alfonso, let's start at the beginning. What's the problem?
Paul, thank you very much for the invitation to participate in this podcast. Before I get into the problem, I just want to highlight that the intention of these comments about port state control is not to carry or send criticism to port state control, because we all need to recognize and acknowledge that the introduction of port state control has been beneficial for the industry, reducing the accidents and improving many aspects on safety and environmental issues on board the vessels. So with that being said, we also need to acknowledge that the learning curve have already passed and there is a lot of room for improvements. And with that said, Paul, I would like to go straight to the problems that I see, or in other ways, places where we need to put some attention and revisit what's happening. One, there is a lack of uniformity on the qualification and performance of PSE officers and inspections across the globe. There's no clarity on the way those vessels have been inspected, because they might be different depending on where she goes. And that finally leaves every single stakeholder, crew, ship owners, managers, flag, classification society, and everyone involved in a big dilemma, which is trying to understand the different interpretations of the rule depending on the port state control areas that the same vessel will go through.
So it sounds as though your concern is there's no uniform interpretation of the rules.
There is, in theory, a uniform interpretation of the rule, but in practice, that is not happening anymore.
Do you think you're alone in having these concerns, or do other flag states share your view? Maybe they don't want to speak out about it.
Paul, I'm definitely convinced that everyone is facing the same issue, and everyone thinks that there is needs to stop for a moment and revisit what we're doing. But I'm afraid that everyone will prefer to stay quiet and to avoid any potential friction points with port state control. So to answer your question, I don't think I am personally alone on this. I think the registry have a tremendous good cooperation with many PSE around the world. And with that said, I'll tell you, there are excellent port state control officers and excellent PSE regimes. But there are some cases which highlight the importance of continue to revisit and finding ways to improve. So we are not alone. I think it's an issue in the whole industry, from ship owners to managers to class societies and flags as well.
Now, you mentioned port state control regimes. By my count, there are 9 regional port state control groups, plus the US Coast Guard, of course. Are you saying that they all have different standards that ships have to meet? I mean, if so, that must be very difficult for a ship that's on a global voyage.
To answer your question in a very simplistic way, Paul, I think, as I said before, theoretically, all are following the same rules and procedures. But in practice, depending on the qualifications of the inspector and the background of that inspector, the results are different.
So, and what's the outcome of that? What does that mean?
I give you 2 very specific examples. You can have the same vessel with the same conditions going to 3 different regimes within a month. And the 3 different regimes will probably see, 1, a list of items that needs to be corrected or deficiencies found, different to what the other will find. And eventually, or in the case that they find the same problems or the same deficiencies or the same observations, each of them will interpret the seriousness of those deficiencies or items found differently, depending on where she goes. As I mentioned at the beginning, that leaves a huge room for confusion, allowing or not allowing the crew members, the managers, the owners, and everyone else to actually know how serious or how important this item is for them.
And I think you also have concerns about detentions. Various codes, I think, can be applied to ship inspections. I think you have concerns about those.
Well, Paul, that was my second item on answering your question. And that particularly item is referring to when you see a ship, many PSC officers will look at it and think, for example, if there is a serious deficiency that needs to be rectified before departure. That is a code 1717. Some others will see the same deficiencies and decide that this code 30, which means the ship is detained. The results are the same because you anyways have to repair the item before departure. But the interpretation of those 17 versus 30 will create a record on everyone else, the ship, the manager, the flag, the class, and whatever, as a ship detained versus a ship that was found with something but repaired before departure.
And so is the point that you're making really how they're recorded in the statistics and the data that then people refer to?
It is that, but it's also how the port state control officer will interpret the items or the findings that they are looking right now. And eventually, if whatever they decide to do, that is also, as you mentioned, the second issue, which is how that would affect everyone in the equation. But it comes from how does the human being performing the port state control will look at that particular deficiency.
There's also issues, to my mind, between the various port state control regimes, that the different groupings have different rating systems. Paris MOU has its white, grey, black lists. US Coast Guard has its Qualship 21 scheme. Do those cause difficulties or confusions?
Paul, tremendously. The registry has invested tremendously in technology, and we have developed systems that works automatically to alert and guide and assess the ship owners and operators in how to better prepare to port state control. But that means that the system needs to have different calculation mechanisms to evaluate every risk of every vessel depending on where she goes. If she goes to Asia, the risk rating is different than if she goes to the US, Australia, or Europe. And that means that the vessel will receive four different type of advices depending on where she goes. So the logarithm and the calculations and the target criteria that different port state controls uses are not the same. Leaving, as I said at the beginning, everyone else in the whole system, in the whole chain, a little bit in trouble because we are trying to catch up with different rules and different focus and different vision depending on where the vessel is going to.
And some of these regimes also have concentrated campaigns, don't they, from time to time? Can those be resolved on board from region to region?
Well, I think concentrated campaigns are very good. We don't see any problem with concentrated campaign of inspection because they are properly announced with time and the ship owners have time to prepare themselves. I would ideally like to see a global concentrated campaign of inspection across all different MOUs, whether they are below or not, like US Coast Guard, AMSA, Tokyo, and Paris, to mention, you know, the biggest four or five. And if you have them all together doing a global campaign, concentrated campaign on safety or pollution or navigation equipment or whatever, that would be, in my point of view, great, achieving a global uniform rule where everyone will put focus on that. Sometime I hope that we can be able to achieve such a thing.
And what about the crew members? I mean, they're not especially educated on ship regulation. How do they cope with this sort of these sort of campaigns?
That's very important. I think in general, regulations have not been clearly disseminated to the knowledge of the crew themselves, and the way they see the operations of the ship might be slightly different to what the port state control will see. You can have a very experienced chief engineer looking at the engine in a very normal way, as you have someone coming with a port state control hat with no merchant marine background, inspecting a ship, will completely look at the engine room or bridge or whatever they're looking at in a different way. So training the crew is critical for them to be prepared and understand what they're being up to. But I am also concerned about something, Paul. When it comes to port state control, you're adding that into a question of the already extremely regulated industry where the crew members are having less and less time to rest and to do their work. So you go to a port, you have cargo operations, you have fueling operations, you have lube oil operations, et cetera, et cetera. And on top of that, you have inspections of the flag, the class, the port state control. So I ideally, again, would like to see a coordinated campaign where, for example, the flags goes together with the port state control or class society, and we share time together to minimize the time that we spend on board, looking at the same thing with the same objectives, but leaving the crew more time to rest and do what they need to do, which is focus on their operation of the ship and safety of the ship.
All right, look, we've explored some of the problems, but what's the solution? I mean, I think the big question is that if you're hoping for global uniformity, which seems to be what you're saying, who would initiate it? Who would coordinate it?
There are two avenues to think about a potential coordination among regions or among port state control. One is the initiative of flag states coming together, trying to bring all port state controls on the same table to discuss about this issue. And which I don't know how feasible that is, but the second one is the IMO. And I'm afraid also the IMO will not be entitled or capable of regulating what every single sovereign state will have to do as port state control obligations. So this will require a lot of willing from both sides, the industry itself and the member states of the IMO carrying port state control to get this together. I think the associations or one association of flag states could possibly help together with class societies bringing those issues between or among all the regions of port state control in the world.
What about the qualifications and training of port state control inspections? Would that help? Could that be made more uniform, do you think?
Paul, it is very clearly, it's been highlighted by many people in the industry that what they see is, again, in many cases, extremely capable, well-trained, educated, and experienced port state control officers that got through a very, very rigorous process of training and coming with a proper merchant marine background. But they also see in some cases in the world, port state control officers, which has no merchant marine background. And when they switch from, say, Navy operations to a merchant marine, even if the training is being provided, that lack of experience or background will always be there. And that creates a lack of communications and understanding on what a commercial merchant ship looks like and operates and how theoretically a Navy ship would work for. So, but there's also another item there's an IMO regulation which require or establish the minimum criteria to be a PSC officer. And it all starts very well. I think in their drafting or in the way it reads is you need to have a proper master of chief engineer background with seagoing experience of half qualifications from an institution recognized by the administration in a maritime related field and have a training that ensured adequate competence and skill. But the problem is the next phrase, which says, or be qualified officer by the administration with an equivalent level of experience and training, which it leaves the member states to turn or convert someone from the resources they have, that might be Navy or whatever resource they have, into a port state control officer. but we don't know yet what, how deep and how strong that criteria of training, turning this Navy officer into a Merchant Marine IMO force state control inspector is. So this paragraph, this regulation, in my point of view, would be good to be revisited, to sit down together in a very mature way, professional way, to understand if we can go deeper on that and expand what type of qualifications are needed and what type of minimum training as well is needed besides the qualification itself.
And are you in a position as the head of the Liberian Register to initiate that sort of discussion?
Well, the registry, the Liberian Registry, it has been globally recognized for taking the initiative in not just ratifying the conventions, but managing the ship in a very responsible way. With that being said, Paul, I think we should initiate, and we're in the position to initiate the conversation with the port state controls and the flag state control to find possible point of understanding on which we can start revising this minimum criteria of evaluation, because this evaluation will be seen by the IMO auditors when the IMO member state audit goes through the parties of the organizations to look at how they do their flag state responsibilities as well as port state control and coastal states. So I think we feel ourselves well positioned as an extremely committed registry, trying to and doing our best to keep, you know, the highest performance records and safety of the fleet anywhere they go. And we feel also in the obligations to bring the industry together to keep discussing this and keep pushing to keep continue to evolve.
Well, look, thanks, Alfonso. I think we've just about run out of time, but you've given us there some remarkable insights into port state control. From what you say, it seems that the focus should be perhaps more on increasing safety, seafarer well-being, and environment protection, but also a goal of not focusing on detention statistics for each specific port state control. So look, thanks, Alfonso, for sharing your thoughts on this, and thank you too for listening to this Lloyd's List podcast.